Hastings for the Prophetic Awakening Conference. It was fantastic. It was brilliant, actually. I would say it would be one of the best conferences we've had. I always say that every year, but this was really, really powerful. It was great. It was great to see we had ministers and leaders, pastors and leaders come from Fiji. We had, it was 8 or 10 of them, I can't remember. At least 8, but maybe 10. I had a pastor from India and a pastor from Malaysia, plus all our Kiwi ones, so, and leaders. So that was great. It was really, really, really awesome and powerful time. And I was going to prepare a message this morning. Wasn't going to be named this, but I thought, hey, there's people here that haven't heard the message and you haven't heard what I brought to the conference. So I'm going to bring it this morning. Not the full-on one that I did. I know. Not the. I just had to sort of cut it back a bit because I had over an hour I was allowed to have for that with the prayer that I got everyone praying as well. So I thought, well, I don't know if these people can handle an hour. So, nah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Once upon a time we could, I tell you now. But anyway, so yeah, we don't want to get stuck in a rut, do we? And think, oh well, every week, no, we're allowed this much to preach and then you're out of here. So but anyway, so I'm going to bring that to you, and as I say, it won't be quite all of it, but a good part of it. And but I encourage you go online to icfm.org.nz, I think. Is that it? Cool. And have you noticed you can, we're putting it online. Can you download it yet? You can actually, for $15, get the whole conference, all the messages and everything. So that's cheap. That's very cheap. So I encourage you to go to the website, just see if it's all ready to go to download and to pay online. I think that's well worth it. And we had some great stuff from all the speakers, great stuff from Tom Ingalls, if those you remember him from last year, some great stuff about quantum stuff, and I quite like that stuff, I must say. So it was good. It was a great time, wonderful time. I mean, I have not laughed so much. It did me so much good. I just laughed so much through that conference. And Ferg really did himself proud, shall we say? Well, he just said something, honestly, it just brought the house down. And then it took me about half an hour to pull myself together. And then I was looking at, oh no, this is serious now, I've got to stop, you know. So lots of laughs, and Tucker and I had lots of laughs as well. We always get a motel together and we have lots of laughs in the car, because I was picking up Fergus and June, taking them with us. So, and Ferg and I, we're always bantering and having fun and just joking with one another. So it was really good. It was really, really, really good. And I'm glad I'm able to stand up here today, because yesterday I wouldn't have thought I would be, the way I was feeling. But God is good. You know, I just thought, no, Lord, I'm not receiving this. And I took communion twice. So I was going to take it 3 times, but I took communion twice. So, you know, sometimes you've got to put your stake in the ground. When the enemy comes in, you know, he wants to take us down. He, you know, puts things on us. And we just sometimes just put our stake in the ground. Hey, wait a minute, I'm in covenant with Almighty God. I've got a covenant. I'm going to lift the blood. I'm going to take the bread, and I'm going to lift the cup. And so I encourage you, you know, when you're facing, you know, the enemy's coming at you with physical ailments and things, take your communion and just don't accept it. You know, just don't lie down and accept it. Fight it. All right? So that is why I'm standing here today. And anyway, so prophetic awakening. I want to open in Romans 13, verse 11 and 12. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. Now we're living in a world that has been programmed by the powers of darkness since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, since they were evicted. And this is a world programmed to believe their lies, the enemy's lies, Satan's lies. And that's why John said that the whole world is lying in darkness. In 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway or the influence of the wicked one. Jesus, I'm so thankful, he came as the true light into this world. And he floods every believer. When you said yes to Jesus, invited him into your life, he gave light to you. You were filled with the light and the life of God. And Jesus said, he did say, you are the light of the world. You are. Say, I am the light of the world. Yeah, he says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, he's saying, don't hide your light. We're supposed to be seen. People are supposed to be able to look at us and say, I know them. I recognize what's on them. It's they're one of those Christians. Not, oh, they're one of those Christians, you know, hypocrites. No, that they look at us and say, hey, those are one, that's a Christian. I can see, I can tell by the way they live and by the way they talk and by the way that they act. So Jesus came as the true light. And he said, don't hide, a city cannot be hidden. So we're not to hide the light that God has put in us. We're not to hide it under a cover of sin, under a cover of shame, under a cover of unforgiveness, fear, unbelief. All of these things cover the light. But the whole world, it needs to see the light in us. So overall, the church has done a pretty mediocre job of being the light, wouldn't you say? Yeah, sadly. And I've been going on for a long time, we've been talking about how we have moved into a time of the kingdom age, where God's kingdom and God's will is going to be seen on this earth just as it is in heaven. God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And God is bringing restoration, great restoration, to people's lives, to families, to communities, to cities, to nations. And God is releasing his glory, which is going to affect and change this world. And so when a now time arrives on God's timeline, nothing can stop it. Nothing. And it's a now time now. We're in a now time when God is going to show mightily on this earth. He's going to reveal his kingdom and his light, and he's going to reveal heaven on earth, what it would be like. That culture of heaven is going to be seen on this earth. See, even Herod couldn't stop the birth of Jesus Christ. He couldn't stop Jesus being grown up on this earth and fulfilling what God had given him to do. Nothing could stop his death and resurrection. Nothing. And on the day of Pentecost, nothing could stop the Holy Ghost from coming on the day of Pentecost, because it was a now time. And so we're in another now time. So nothing is going to stop what God is about to do right now. There have been many wicked things hidden in darkness, lots and lots, up until now. But God says there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. So there's going to be a lot of revealing of stuff, probably will make our hair curl, but it's for a purpose. We've got to wake up. The world's got to wake up and see they need a saviour and they need a God. They need light. So this world is starting to wake up to the depth of darkness and evil that has been hidden in the darkness. And more importantly, the body of Christ needs to wake up to the darkness that has been controlling world systems. Absolutely. Before we can truly wake up spiritually, it's like you need to know. How do you know something to wake from, you know, if you don't know what you're going to wake up from? Or you need to wake up. We need to have an awakening. Nations are awakening. They've been awakened to truth. To the truth of the gospel, but also the truth of how dark the darkness has been. And so we need to wake up and recognize the darkness that's been controlling our world systems before we can truly spiritually awake. If you don't recognize the depth and deception that has been working through these systems, it's going to be hard for them to recognize the need for a, hard for people to recognize the need for a great awakening. So no one can fight an enemy they don't recognize. How can you fight an enemy when you think it's a friend? So that in itself, if no one can, if you don't recognize your enemy, that in itself, dropping off, have I? There we are. Okay. So when truth reveals darkness, and when people become fully informed and fully aware and learn and understand the truth, they become free. So that happens in the natural and that happens in the spiritual. So this whole world and even believers have been programmed for their entire lives to respond to Satan's fear programming. It's called brainwashing. Fear separates us from faith, it separates us from hope, and welcomes darkness to control us. So many people have been brainwashed to believe a lie. But God is waking up the body and the nations. If Satan is controlling the narrative, then even good people will believe his lies and deception without even realizing it. And that is why I've said to you many times, I seldom listen to the news anymore. Sometimes you listen to some news, but other news I won't listen to because I know it's a lie. You know, there's a lot of, when Satan controls the narrative, then he will control the people. If people believe it, then you come into deception. You know, we need some godly journalists. I've said this so many times. We need God-filled, spirit-filled journalists who will speak the truth. Isn't that right? Of what's happening. So if Satan can brainwash people, he will control their future and their destiny. And that goes for nations as well. And demons have no interest in waking people up. They're not here. They're not here to wake people up. They're here to keep people in deception and in darkness. So the enemy's lies, their untruth, always bring oppression. They bring depression, darkness, hopelessness, fear, and control. If our thought life can be controlled, our lives will be controlled. If a government can control a nation's thought life, they will have control over the people. And you know, Nazi Germany is a good example of this. They started to feed lies. They started to feed lies to the people. You know, just step by step by step, lies. And pointing out the problem, their problems were the Jews. They were the ones who were stealing your wealth. They were the ones, you know, that we need to get rid of. And so that whole, you know, like that nation, and I know there were good people there amongst in Germany who were trying to stand up to it, but that nation came under the control of deep lies and deep deception because it was controlled by Satan. So God doesn't want to brainwash us. That is Satan's modus operandi. God wants to transform us by the renewing of our minds to his thoughts, his ways, his words, his absolute truth, because the truth will set us free. Absolutely. So God gives us freedom of choice. If we are his children, then we had better listen to our father. Isn't that right? If you're in a family, you know, you listen to your father, don't you, Cheyenne? Yeah. So, if we're God's children, we need to listen to our Heavenly Father. He knows what is best for us. He knows what will make us overcomers. He knows what it takes for us to be great for him on the earth. And God is about to do something that has never been seen on this earth before. He needs to be able to trust us. He's not going to give great power and glory to those who are still acting like naughty children. So the body has to grow up. All right? Tell yourself, grow up. Oh, come on. Say your name. Robin, grow up. Yeah. Okay, we've got to grow up. Can't be kids anymore. We've got to clean up our mouths, clean out our minds, and fill them with faith and with truth. Walk as our Lord walked, in love and holiness. Get rid of all darkness. You know, I talk about how to loose things from your soul. You know, it would good for you to do it every day. When you go to bed, Father, I just loose any darkness from my soul. Any negative thing I've seen, any negative word I've heard, any negative word I have spoken or believed, I loose it all. Clean out. Have a clean out, all right? Good. So we've got to get rid of all darkness. And so how do you win a war? You surprise the enemy. You do what he doesn't expect. For so long, Satan has had the body where he wants it. Fighting with one another, criticizing one another, judging one another, condemning one another, living in fear, living in unbelief, living in doubt. But he isn't for a rude awakening. The body is waking up from slumber. We're breaking out of our old ways, our old attitudes, our old thoughts, our old words. And we're stepping into something new. We're waiting to what God wants to do through us as a united unit. We're supposed to be united, the body. If a church can't even be in unity, how could the whole body? God wants the body in unity. Yeah. But it starts with individual churches. We've got to be united, one body. So we cannot afford to be lukewarm. No place for lukewarmness. We must be hot for God. Yeah. Amen? Fully surrendered to Christ and to his will. Surrender to a fresh work of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the new wine, what we were singing about. Being humble. Sometimes you need to eat humble pie, all right? Get somebody to make you some humble pie and eat it. We can't be so proud that we don't learn and we won't listen to what God's trying to tell us. So it's time for the body of Christ to mobilize as one, to transform the sleeping potential of the body of Christ into the fullness of its actual power. Do you get that? It's time for us to unite so we can step into the fullness of the power of Christ as the body of Christ. That's who you are. You're part of the body of Christ. We are the body. And we're supposed to do what Jesus did. So, you know, this is what Satan has been fearing for 2,000 years. When on the day of Pentecost, that first lot, you know, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was terrified that hey, this is going to spread all around the world. And this body is going to become filled so much with unity that they're going to be one body. You see, one body. We're one body of Christ. And we are meant to be filled with the fullness of his potential. As one body, powerful. Do you get that? We are meant to be powerful. And Satan has feared we're going to get a hold of this for 2,000 years. He's fear, and he's very fearful right now because he knows God is waking up the body of Jesus Christ. There's a great awakening coming to the body and to the nations. So we have to be one united body. It says in Psalm 111, verse 6, he has declared to his people the power of his works. I am giving them the heritage of the nations. He's giving us the heritage of the nations. And he also said in Psalm 1 or 2, you know, 2, we'll have a look, you know, read. You know, it says that he says to Jesus, I give you the nations for your inheritance. But we are the body of Christ. He's also giving us the heritage of the nations. So we claim our nations. We claim New Zealand. You guys on the Philippines, you claim your nation of the Philippines for the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim it back from darkness because darkness has no right to our nations. Not at all. We claim these nations because they belong to us and they belong to Almighty God. So we're to change things, to change nations and to change this earth. We're to operate from God's wisdom. Bring healing to people, to our families, to people, to communities, and to nations. See how big you... This is how important you are. You thought it was just about you and just you and one other or a few other people. No, he's talking about whole nations. You can change nations. Have you ever thought about... That's big. That's big. But you could start with your family. Start with your community. Start in your workplace, wherever. Just start there. You're bringing change because of who you are. You're a child of the living God. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. See, I'm saying things I wasn't saying up at the conference, but that's all good. I always end up doing that. I've said things up there I won't say here either because I don't know what I said. It's just like the Spirit of God gets on you and just blab away whatever he wants. So for far too long, Satan has been destroying families, communities and nations. For too long. Too long he's had control of our belief systems and the world systems. And it's time for a great awakening. Absolutely. Fire is coming to this earth. Holy Ghost fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Woohoo, I can't wait. He's going to come and burn up all the rubbish in our lives. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord is coming. Woo. I'll tell you what, that's awesome. And the spirit of holiness is coming on the body of Christ. Spirit of holiness. Judgment always begins in the household of God. You know, when God brings judgment, it's justice. He demands justice. You know, and where the enemy's had God's children bound up with things they want to be free from, he's going to declare justice, that you can go free. Amen? But I tell you what, he's not going to put up with pride and sin any longer. So we just better sort it out now before he comes. You know, this awakening happens. All right? It's much easier that way, less painful. Do it in your time, not God's time. Do it now. Okay. So judgment is beginning in the house of God. He's talking about justice. He's not going to put up with pride. He's not going to put up with sin any longer. God's glory is going to be so thick on this earth and so powerful that people will barely be able to function. But I tell you what, we, the body of Christ, will be fearless and we will be holy. Nice choice. When the glory turns up, there's no hiding from sin, no hiding from God at all. Now, there's two words, the Pharaoh of Egypt and the giants of Canaan, they're similar metaphors for right now. It's time for release from Pharaoh and all deception and all mind control that's been holding back the body of Christ and our transition into the fullness of the promised land, which the demonic powers have not wanted to relinquish, but now they will have no say at all in the matter. So we've got to come out, people have got to come out of Pharaoh's hold where he's held people in bondage. We say, no more, I'm not staying in this place. I'm not going to put up with this any longer. I'm coming out. And then we're going to defeat the giants that have tried to terrify us and hold the body of Christ back. God has spoken and it is time for a great awakening to God's truth, his ways and his power, the likes of which the world has never seen. And we as mature believers, having learned to walk with faith in our Father and in his word, having chosen to walk in love, not taking offense, forgiving freely, without pride, walking free from darkness, and awake to the truth, we are positioned in this time, for this time, this now time. We will hear God say, well done, or this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that cool? And 2 Peter 1, 4 becomes a reality. We are partakers of God's divine nature. We fully display his nature. We live from this position. Do you get that? You're going to fully display the divine nature. We're partakers of his divine nature. Yeah. See that? Of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we partake of God's divine nature. We walk in it. We fully display it. We live from that position, living in God's divine nature. That's your nature. Your old nature's gone. Now you have a divine nature on the inside. Bumping that thing. Okay, I'll get it. Thank you. Fixing it up. I'll try not to bump it. Okay, so as we mature, the giants shrink. They don't seem so big anymore, where the enemy's coming against us. They become weak, we become strong. We are the true sons of God. They stole our land, they stole our possessions, they stole our promises, they stole the nations of the earth without our permission a long time ago. And we are claiming it back, all of it. You know, the faith to leave Egypt was the faith to leave Egypt, the land of captivity, was fairly easy. But the faith required to enter into the promised land was harder. It was far greater. Because that's where the giants were. And fear prevailed in the Israelite camp. You know, they were meant to go in there. Moses said, he selected 12 leaders of the 12 tribes, sent them in to spy out the land. And they were going to go and take the land. There were giants in the land. And they came back. And only 2 out of the 12 leaders of the tribes of Israel had faith to enter. All the rest said no. You know, you've got to realize that thanks to Joseph, when he was second to Pharaoh in Egypt, the Israelites were once loved by the Egyptians, they were respected, but gradually the enemy started to destroy them in Egypt. He weakened them over time, he brainwashed them into thinking and believing the voice of the enemy, the voice of fear, the lies, the accusations, until they became slaves with no hope of ever seeing the promised land. And for a time, the early church, it was both feared and loved. It was known throughout the known world at that time. But gradually over the centuries, Satan weakened the church, almost destroyed the church through the Dark Ages, filled her with fear, with unbelief, hopelessness and accusations, and it became a religious entity with no power, no love, no hope. And the word of God was locked up in monasteries, written in Latin, which the common people couldn't understand, and they remained under Satan's control until God started to wake up the body of Christ again through a man called Martin Luther in Germany, who discovered in the word that the just shall live by faith. Not fear, not through religious acts. Religion won't get you to heaven. Faith gets you to heaven. Faith gives you the victory. Religion doesn't give you any victory. It binds you up. And so our real activity has been our own mind. You know, demons will never lead us out of captivity. But this wonderful, God had a wonderful plan since the beginning of time for a people who would look like, act like, and love like his son. A people who would walk in the fullness of his power. Something was happening. There was an awakening happening in the 16th century. But now it is about to culminate in the greatest awakening this world has ever seen. And God chose you to live in such a time as this. You could have been born in the 19th century. You could have been born in the 17th century. But God chose for you to be born in this day and in this hour and in this now time of a great awakening. Isn't that powerful? So don't let the enemy tell you it's over. Don't let him tell you it's time to escape, to quit, to give up, roll over. Don't let him tell you that you will never do anything great for God. You will. You will. Don't let him tell you you're weak, you're feeble, you're powerless. You wouldn't be alive in this time if that was the truth. It's not the truth. And don't believe it for a moment. When he speaks to your mind, oh, you might as well just give up now. You say, shh, shut up. Shut up. Zip your lip. Not going to listen to you. Don't let him tell you that. Don't let him tell you it's time to escape. And don't tell him you'll never do anything great for God at all. Just don't believe him. Don't speak what Satan wants you to speak. Words, wrong words will keep you in captivity. It kept the 10 spies who wouldn't believe and wouldn't go in, and their families, kept them in captivity until they died. They said, we're not able, we can't. We saw the giants and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. And notice they said, in our sight, we look like grasshoppers, and so we were in theirs. Do you hear that? What he's saying there? If they only knew, the nations were terrified of them. They had heard of how they came out, they escaped from Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians. Remember, they took gold, they took silver, all the wonderful fabrics. They plundered them, took it from them. They just gave it freely to them. God got on them to give to them. And then God took them to that Red Sea. This is what a sting this was for the Egyptians. They cross over the Red Sea. The Egyptians, now remember, this is the greatest civilization on the earth at that time, the greatest civilization. They had the most powerful armies on the earth at that time. They were a powerful, powerful nation. And so, like a bunch of fools, they followed the Israelites into that water, and God brought the water down over them, and they drowned. And so from that moment on, they had their armies, thousands upon thousands, destroyed. Their chariots, their weaponry at the bottom of the ocean. Isn't that powerful? That's God. If he could do that for them, he could do it for us. What is your enemy? Who's your enemy? God will defeat that enemy for you. Trust in the Almighty God. Amen? So never tell. So here they are saying we're like grasshoppers on our side, and so we were in this. No, they look like giants to them. Even to the giants, the Israelites looked like giants. They were terrified because they knew that God was with them and God was on their side. And literally, they were the Israelites' bread. But Joshua and Caleb's response was, do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. They were right. They were spot on. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So only Joshua and Caleb got to see and live in the promised land. And the words are like bullets. Once they leave the barrel, there is no calling them back. They have power. They define our legacy or your legacy. So choose your words wisely. What are you saying? What are you speaking about yourself? What are you speaking about your family? What are you speaking about our nation? What are you speaking about this church? Better be good. So make sure they are words worthy of the kingdom and of who you are as a son and daughter of the Most High God. Speak only the King's words. Words which will empower you, not weaken you. To empower this nation, not weaken it. Empower your family, your school or your workplace, wherever you are. We've got to release words that will change things for the good. I don't know whether I've shared this before, here or not, but did you know that scientists have recorded the sound of an exploding star, a star that exploded thousands of years ago? Did you know that? It's true. Scientists have recorded the sound of a star that exploded thousands of years ago. So do you see why our words are important to God? If we can record the sound of a star that exploded thousands of years ago, and that sound is still there, why would we assume that the words we speak will not be heard 1,000 years from now? Tell you what. Some of you might want to do a bit of shredding of words. Because those words are forever. They're in the atmosphere and where the demonic realm can see them. I tell you what, this is what I would do. I would send the host. I say, host, I want you to go shred every negative cursing word I have spoken. Shred it, bring it to naught. They can do that. But if you don't do anything about it, they'll stay there. Those words will stay there. So words are powerful. They stay. They linger. So you've got to make your words count. And be careful about what you are releasing from your mouth. You've got to live each moment intentionally for God. Create with your words. Don't destroy with your words. Make declarations to change things. Start declaring, I am a destroyer of the works of the devil. He's not my destroyer, I'm his destroyer. No, we need to get feisty. Fight on the inside. You know, I have been given power over all the power of the enemy. The Bible says that you, every believer, he says, Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. We've got that power. We've got to use it. So you've got to make sure your mouth is what it should be. Don't let that garbage come out your mouth. Don't let that unbelief, don't let that fear come out your mouth. So Peter defines the divine nature of God. He talked about it in 2 Peter, about being partakers of the divine nature. And this is how it expresses itself. Faith is number one. We're people of faith. That's a divine nature, aspect of divine nature. It's virtue, means excellence of character and moral goodness. That's God's divine nature. It's knowledge. It's having knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of what God has done, what Jesus has done for us, and who we are in Christ Jesus. This is all about the divine nature of God in us. Self-control is the divine nature. For some of you that might lose control now and then. Patience, which is like long-suffering. Patience, that's part of the divine nature. Godliness, brotherly kindness and brotherly love. Kindness can go a long way. Be kind to people. Be kind in your own family. I could say something. No, not going to say anything. But are you off dishes duty now, Rod? Oh, good. That's just a little private joke we've got going on there. So when we have these things working in us, we're ready for service and we're awake to what God is going to do. So in this time, God is not going to entrust his glory and great power to do the greater works of Jesus Christ to those whose character is lacking. We need to work on our character. You've got it in you. Now you need to just work it out and get rid of the old man or the old girl. He says in verse 8, if these qualities... That's not your wife or your husband either, by the way. He says in verse 8, if these qualities are ours, if our character is marked by those qualities, he says, then, it says in verse 8, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will do the greater works. In verse 10, it says, we'll never stumble. Satan will try and put stumbling blocks in your pathway, but if we're living like this, we will never stumble. We will be awake. We'll be ready, and God will give us an entrance. It talks about this in verse 11, the entrance into his heavenly kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed on earth during this time. You're going to be ready. So we need to cooperate by faith with what God is doing and what he wants to do. We should be asking God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to believe you for? Ask him. What changes do I need to make to fulfill my destiny? Try asking him those things. The Bible says that one day the nations will look upon Satan and they will say, is this the one that controlled the nations through fear? Is this the one? The sniveling, wimpy thing there? That's what he's saying. Know who he is. He's powerless. There's nothing compared. Satan is nothing compared to the Son of God. And Satan is nothing to the sons and daughters of Almighty God. Amen? You've got to remember that. Really, he's not. He's scared of us, but he doesn't want us getting the truth. He knows if we get the truth, if we wake up, then we're going to make his life miserable. And he's going to lose hold over people. He's going to lose his hold over communities. He's going to lose his hold over nations. Because at last, the body of Christ will rise up and know who they are. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so, it says in Amos 5:24, but let justice run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty storm. So we're bringing justice and righteousness to the nations. And God has said in Genesis 22:17, he says that our children and our grandchildren will possess the gates of their enemies. Our children and our grandchildren will possess the gates of our enemies. That's the places of influence in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm. That our children are going to possess the gates, control the areas. Our children are going to control the areas where the devil has had control. And the demonic realm is going to hear a cry rising from a deep passion and fire in the hearts of our children, the rising generation. And they will detonate in the enemy's camp and bring great destruction to all their plans. So if you're younger than me in here, a few of you, but if you're young, you young ones, you need to know what God's got, something going to rise up in you, and you're going to do damage to the enemy's camp. Or you young ones, well, just all of us are young. Because I told the people at ICFM, I says, I don't believe in old age. True. I don't believe in it. Don't you either. If you're getting older, don't believe in old age. No. God's renewing our youth like the eagles. Thank you, Lord. So are you willing to play a part in this great awakening to see God's kingdom revealed and manifest in this nation? I want to see New Zealand becoming worthy as a nation to be part of God's kingdom or part of Jesus' inheritance, don't you? You know, we should get passionate about that. That's his right to have this nation, that this nation is for him. You know, so we need to remember that. So, and we're the ones who are going to claim it for him. He's done what he's going to do. Now it's up to us. So we need to fight for freedom. We need to fight in prayer to defeat darkness, to set the captives free, and to fight and stand up and to speak out. Don't be afraid. We can influence a community and a nation in many ways. A church building is where we meet to build up one another, to teach, to encourage, to shape and mold character, faith, etc. But we are to be the church out there. You're to be the church in your workplace, in your schools, in your wherever you are, that you are the church. You aren't the church. You don't leave here and go out and suddenly don't be the church. You are the church. You aren't just the body of Christ when you're here. You leave here and you are the body of Christ. So we've got to remember that. Absolutely. I always remember, I'm watching the time. I always remember, you know, when Don was alive and we were in a shopping mall and this little kid came running up to us and I was thinking, who's this kid? I didn't recognize him, but this little darling came running up, Pastor Don, Pastor Don, you know, and give him a big hug. And I said, wasn't it a good thing we weren't standing there having an argument or something? You know, imagine if we were, what example is that? What example would that be? And this little kid was so excited. I still don't know who he was, but anyway, came up, Pastor Don, you know. So I just said, you know, I said, Don, you know, that just shows wherever we are, we need to be like Christ. Because, you know, somebody will, if we're having a fight out in public, somebody might, you know, we'll hear it, and what will it do? What would that do to that little kid? Oh, doesn't bear thinking about, does it? So we're church outside of here, all right? So God wants to waken people up to the truth, to bring the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ to the places where he has positioned us, to evict the darkness and to bring light to the dark places, not only in people's hearts, but in our communities, our towns, our cities and our nations. So we must be ready and expecting for this great awakening that is about to hit the world. Do you believe it yet? You believe it's coming? Good. I wasn't sure then for a minute. I thought, these people gone to sleep? No? So an awakening, it affects nations. It just doesn't affect the believer. It affects the whole nation. It affects, you know, your workplace. It will affect wherever you go. It will affect everywhere, not just the believers. It affects believers and unbelievers alike. But God will always begin with the household of God. And this awakening can never, ever, ever be contained within a church, ever. But it's going to affect every area or every sphere of society. So if we pray for and expect it, New Zealand can be a nation of light. You know, I'm sort of going for, you could start in your, make your home a place of light. Make your workplace a place of light. Or make your school a school of light. Wherever you are, wherever God's placed you. But you know, I'm greedy because I want to claim the nation for light. Not just a town. Lord, I don't still want one town. I want the whole nation, thank you very much. But you know, that's what we can do. Believe big. Believe big. Next minute you'll be claiming the whole world. And that's what God wants. He wants the whole world. So let's just, we're going to wake up to the truth. We're going to be walking in demonstration of the spirit of power. The glory of God is going to be on us and it's going to be in us. We're awakening up to the kingdom of God, kingdom rule, kingdom values, kingdom power, kingdom wisdom, kingdom signs and wonders, righteousness, justice and truth. You need to declare it. You know, I declare that over our nation. I declare righteousness, justice, and truth for our nation. I declare it over the government, righteousness, justice, and truth, because that's what we need. See, your words are powerful. You need to start declaring what you want. If you don't like what you've got, change what you're saying and start declaring what you do want. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You guys, you need to start declaring that your family's come to this nation. You know, if you want them such, can I just thank you, Lord, that you open the doorways that my family can come to New Zealand and live in New Zealand, if that is your will. Yeah, so do it. Just do it. Okay, then. So we're going to awaken to the spiritual realm is converging with this natural realm. It says, and I am coming to the end here, in Luke, in case you're getting bored, okay, in Luke 17, 20 to 21, the Pharisees, they asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Remember that? And Jesus answered by saying, the kingdom does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. How powerful is that? It's within us. So this awakening is within us first. It's within us. So don't, if you say, well, I can't see anything changing, I can't see it happening. Well, don't look to the external, look to the internal, because that's where the kingdom of God is. It's in us. And sense the awakening in you. Sense what God is doing in you. Remember, we will feel it or know it before we see it. That's how faith works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so before we see it, we feel it on the inside. Isn't that right? So we've got to remember that. You know, that word observation, see, it says for the kingdom does not come with observation. That word is inspection of ocular evidence. Ocular meaning relating to the physical eye. In other words, Jesus was saying, evidence of the kingdom of God doesn't come through our natural eyes. It's not outside us, but it's inside us. The kingdom is within. But then, as we believe that, we start declaring it and releasing it, guess what? The kingdom can be seen because it's happening out there. But we need to start releasing what's in us, releasing that kingdom wisdom, releasing all that the kingdom that is within you. All right? And you'll find that people will wake up. So we're in a new time. The change on earth, as I said, it must be within us and it will be released. And it's time for the Christians to mobilize as one, to transform the latent potential of the body of Christ into actual working power. So this is the time of God's power. We are here to change the earth, to heal the land and to heal people. The word says, will my people be, God said, will my people be willing in the day of my power. You need to say, yes, Lord, I am willing. This is the day of your power. I put up my hand. I am willing. All right? You know, he won't force you to be part of this. But you need to say it. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I want to be part of this. I want to be part of what you're doing in this tower. So we must be united, not untied. I wonder if we've got that there. There you go. Look at that. United, untied. If you shift that I to the other side of T, we become untied. We're meant to be united. But, you know, don't go shifting the I to the other side where it shouldn't be. We're united as one body, and we're powerful as one body. Untied, we're weak, we'll scatter, and we're ineffective, and we're powerless. But united, we are strong. Absolutely. If we will hold a common energy of strength, of truth, of love, of faith, then we are united and we cannot be untied. When we are united in love, then we are invincible. The glory shall come upon us and it shall be seen upon us. We shall do the greater works of Jesus Christ. We will awake and we will step into the fullness of the sons and the daughters of God. And here endeth the lesson. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I led the church, the conference in a prayer, but we're not going to do that today, but I'm sure it's all recorded. But how about we just stand up for a minute? We can just say a few things. Oh, thank you, Lisa. That's all right. Healed in the name of Jesus. Okay. Okay, so how about repeating this after me? Father God, I am willing to be used in this day of your power. I give you permission to wake me up, to expose the darkness and empower me to walk in the light. I choose to walk in the light, to walk in love, to walk in unity with my brothers and sisters. I choose to walk by faith, not by sight. I release the kingdom of God that is in me upon other people, in my workplace, in my family. Wherever I go, I choose to release the kingdom of God. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Anoint me in these days and in this hour. And I choose to be great on this earth for you. Amen. Amen. Yoo-hoo!